Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up. Hallelujah. Who is this King of glory? Anyway, can somebody say his name? Who is this King of glory? Who is this King? I don't hear you, folks. Who is this King of glory? Hallelujah. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And that is the name that sends the devil, hallelujah, packing. That is the name that at the name of Jesus, demons tremble. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you because the entrance of your word gives light. Let that light shine in our hearts today. As we receive the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And everybody says, amen. Praise the Lord. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus this morning. If you love the Lord, put your hands. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now this morning, I am going to talk about the pruning. Now it is consecration weekend, so I was actually going to do a teaching series back to back, but as I was praying, you know, just yesterday I had something else and the Lord moved me this way, so I will be doing this morning. Now, the pruning, and I'm going to start here in the book of John chapter 15. Now, I'm going to try to make this like a teaching. Maybe I'll preach a little bit, but I'll teach. So you follow along, you know. You need to pay attention because this message is important. I'm starting at the book of John chapter 15, and we're calling it the pruning. And here is what I'm going to be talking about. You know, when you write a thesis or something, you know, you tell them, you know, kind of like an abstract, you say what you're going to say. Well, then you say what it is you want to say. And then at the end, you say what it is you said. Praise the Lord. You know, so what we are going to say is how God, you know, prunes, you know, and gets his people ready. Now, I will be explaining the word pruning, and I won't use prune to explain pruning, because then you won't understand anything. So I will use nature to try to explain it. But let me first just read the text, and then I will explain. John chapter 15 and verse 1. Jesus is speaking here. I am the vine, the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman. That's the dresser, wine dresser, or the one that owns the vineyard. The one that owns the vineyard could either dress the vineyard himself or hire somebody to do it. But he's the husbandman. He owns the vineyard. Now, Jesus said, I am the true vine. So you see that Jesus is equating himself to the vine or the tree. You know, vine is a tree. Every branch, so you see the tree has branches. Are you still with me, folks? Even the children can understand this message. Tree has branches. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, my Father taketh away. And every branch in me that beareth fruit, he purges it, that's the pruning, so that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, I want us to notice right away that he said, every branch in me. So the branch was already in him. Now, he is the vine and we are the branches. Now, as we read the rest of this, it will become clearer. And he says, look, now ye are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. I'm going to be talking to us on how God does pruning. And one of them is found in this verse 3 right here. And I will come back to it. Now, he says, abide in me. I'm already in verse 4, if they can catch up with me in the back. Abide with me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine. He repeats it. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He's telling us again. Now, anytime, you know, we heard it already this morning. Anytime God is stressing something over and over, it's very important. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abides in me. That's saying it again, over and over again in this text. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Amen, folks?
Amen.
Without, point blank, without me, ye can do nothing. Now, if a man abide in me, I'm in verse 6 now. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And then men gather together the withered branches and cast them into the fire. Now that's serious business, folks. A branch that was already in him, because he did not abide in him and did not bring forth fruit, became withered. And when it withered, it fall off the branch, fall off the tree. And at the end, what happens? Gather them into together and throw them in the fire. And they are burned. Now that's serious business, folks. Now, but if ye abide in me, here's the beauty. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then ye shall ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done unto you. How many of you can say amen?
Amen.
I know all of us will like that one. You like your prayers to be answered. Well, the secret of your prayers being answered every single time is in this one single verse. That's it. If you abide in me, and say, well, what does it mean to abide in me? We'll come to that. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, that's all you need to. Anything you ask, it will be done for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, herein is my Father glorified, in that you bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And so shall ye be my disciples. Praise ye the name of the Lord. God wants us to bear much fruit. Much fruit. We've been singing a song, shall I go empty-handed, when I meet the Lord and so forth. Well, God is not even waiting until then before he cuts off the branches that are dead. Hello, folks. Now, so I'm going to use nature for a little bit to explain. Now, I'm not, I don't do a lot of gardening and so forth, but at some point in time, some of us have done some gardening. You may have a tree that you cherish. Now, the trees in the forest, probably nobody cares. But you may have a tree in your house that you cherish. I know I planted a few in my house. It may be in your garden, maybe in the front, maybe somewhere. Now, most trees do well, in the spring and in the summer. They do very well. Now, but sometimes, when the fall comes along, that's why it's called fall. the leaves start to fall from the trees. And if you get a very severe winter that comes after the fall, some of the trees, they look very barren. The leaves are all gone. The branches are all withered, and they are, brittle. And they sometimes fall off and so on. Now, when you have a little tree that you planted, if it begins to get dry and have the dead branches and so forth, people who are skilled in gardening, they'll tell you, you need to prune those dead branches away because they're sucking the life out of the main stem, And so you go there, you prune. And I've done some of this, we planted, citrus along the side of my house. And, someday I saw that the thing was, one of them had dead leaves. And somebody came to my house and said, dead branches. I said, you got to cut these ones away that are dead in order for the rest of it to really blossom. I said, oh, really? He said, yeah. So, I went and got a branch cutter and I cut those things away. And true to type, the tree started doing better. Of course, I did pray for the tree, believe me, But, it started to do better after cutting off the dead branches. So, here's what Jesus is saying. I am that true vine. And the only way that you are going to be a part of what God is doing when you have been grafted in is to stay in. Amen.
Amen.
Now, if you don't stay in, which means abide in me, now, look, how do we abide in Christ? I'm going to explain that after I explain this other thing. The purging is to get rid of dead things. Now, they may be dead for whatever reason. One of the reasons why people die spiritually is because, you know, just like food, if you don't eat food, after a while, you starve to death. Right? Is that true? If you stay long enough, you don't eat, you starve to death. The same thing happens spiritually. You know, people are walking dead, if you want to call them that, when they don't take in the bread of life. Enough time passes, they are dead while they are still walking around. They're already dead. Now, so we see that abiding in him equates to also, and Jesus put it this way so you don't miss words. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. So that word abiding in you, you also must present your bodies a living sacrifice all the time to the Lord. That's abiding in the Lord. And then take in that word. Let that word abide in you. Praise the Lord. Now, how does God do pruning or purging? We're talking about the pruning. And we're coming to the reasons. I mean, I already told you some of the reasons why he purges, you know, to get rid of the dead weight. And I'm going to talk about, you know, corporate purging and also personal purging and pruning that God does. Now, although God deals with us individually, God also deals with the body of Christ as one unit. Praise the Lord. And that unit is centered in Christ. That's why Christ said, I will build my church, singular, not churches. Jesus didn't build churches. I will build my church, one church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. And Jesus also said, look, other sheep I have that are not of this fold, them also must I bring, and there will be one fold and one shepherd. You know, that's so God deals with us as one fold. Jesus prayed and said that they may be one. Hallelujah. So God is dealing with, he said, by one spirit we have been baptized into one body. You know, that's the way God deals with it. So this one body is the true vine, and that's Jesus Christ. And every one of you, though members in particular, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 will explain all of that to us, that look, we are members of the body of Christ. We are all part of one body. The head cannot say to the foot that I don't need you, and so on and so forth. You know, we've preached about that here. But even though we're like that, we still constitute one body, but we are members in particular. So this one body in this story here is the vine. And each one of you that are members in particular are the branches. So we have the vine and the fruitful branches, which God cares about. But we also have inside the vine the dead branches. Notice he said, every branch in me that does not produce, you know, what the Father is looking for. Now, people may produce any kind of thing. Well, but what is God looking for? You know, one time Jesus was passing by, you know, and you can read the story in Mark 11 and so on. And they saw a fig tree afar off. That looked, it had leaves, and it looked like it was something, you know. But when Jesus came near, he found no fruit on it. How many of you know that story? And then, what did he say to the tree? He said, look, because you have the appearance. Now, let me tell you something. If that tree that had leaves, you know, the Bible said it had leaves, but it didn't have any fruit because, well, the time of figs was not yet, but you don't think Jesus knew that? Jesus knew that. But this tree had the appearance. You know, the Bible says in the book of Revelation chapter 3, it says, thou hast a name that thou livest, but art dead. It has an appearance. You know, you come to church, you look all pious and everything. You know, I mean, come to church, so beautiful and everything, sing and shout the glory of God and so forth on Sunday. But Monday to Saturday, live like the devil. You know, that's not going to work. We need to prune out all those deadness. Amen? Now, so this tree had the appearance of leaves and clusters and so forth. Well, if the tree had looked dry from abroad, I mean afar off, Jesus wouldn't have even approached it. But it looked like it was doing something. So Jesus went there, said, well, all right, let me see what you got. And the tree had nothing. And then Jesus looked and he couldn't find any fruit, and he said, well, you're done. That's it. No man eat fruit of you forever after this. Amen? Because he is the master. He can say and do and undo. He can say to everything he created, have life or be dead. That's it. And he told that tree, be dead. You are done because you are not producing fruit. Now, that tree, folks, trust me, was doing good in the eyes of some people. It had leaves. So perhaps it provided shade. Perhaps it did this and that. Maybe it looked beautiful. Maybe somebody went beside it and said, wow, this big tree, it looks so nice. They sat down beside it, for shade. And maybe it looked beautiful and everything like that. Well, it may have looked beautiful in the eyes or to the eyes of somebody else. But to the eyes of the husbandman, the owner of the vineyard, that tree did not produce that kind of fruit that he was looking for. Now, doing some other things, providing shade and so on, that was not what he cared about. He wanted the fruit. And he didn't find the fruit. Even though the tree was busy doing something else, he said, you're done. Amen, folks? This is a very important lesson for us to learn today. Don't be busy doing other things that God doesn't care about and neglect the very thing that he's looking for. And you think you're doing all these other things. The one that he's looking for, if you're not doing it, as far as he's concerned, you're doing nothing. Praise the Lord. So, every branch in me that is not bearing fruit, my Father taketh away. Now, so that's the corporate purging. In the body of Christ, God is not interested in dead weight. Amen. Amen, folks. Although, for some time, he'll carry them along. He told a parable in Matthew 13 and said, look, the kingdom of God is like a man that planted good seed in his garden. But while men slept, the enemy came and planted evil seed among them. And in the morning, the servants got up and said, well, they saw the tares sprang up among the wheat. And they said, master, did you not plant good seed over here and so forth? And they said, he said, an enemy has done this. Because he discerned it. The rest of them didn't know how those seed got there. How those other weed got there. And they said, well, since an enemy has done it, let's go over there and pluck it away then. And Jesus said, the master said, look, leave them alone for now. Let them both grow together until the harvest time. Because they look too closely together right now. But there's coming a separating hour. How many of you say praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. They look too close. When you plant this corn, maize, sometimes when I was a kid, we used to plant corn and maize. And look like this Bahama grass thing. They look so, And if you are too impatient, it looks like weed. You pluck it out. You pluck the thing out. You definitely want to weed out of your garden. But, don't be impatient. And Jesus said, don't worry about it. At harvest time, we'll see what seed they really are. Amen. We're going to see where they really belong. We're going to see what direction they go. Man's systems or God's word. We're going to see which direction they really go at the end. And then at the end will tell the story, you see. So, but Matthew chapter 3 and verse 12. Turn with me quickly. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 12. Now, I'm moving along and saying how God purges now. The way that God purges, the first way that he purges is through his word. We read that in John 15 and 3. He said, ye are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. Now, Hebrews, I'm coming back to Matthew 3 and 12. Let me just read it since they put it up. Matthew 3 and 12 says, John the Baptist was talking about Jesus. He said, look, I baptize you indeed with water, but there's one coming after me whose shoes I'm not even able to unlace. You're worthy to unlace. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen? Amen. Whose fan, verse 12, whose fan is in his hand. Hallelujah. And he will thoroughly prune his flock. Hallelujah. He's going to do it, folks. And he is going to gather his wheat into the garner. And they will be blessed. And they will, they will enter into the inheritance of the Lord. But he will burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. That's right. That's right, folks. He's going to do it too. And judgment will begin at the household of God. That's right. Now, Hebrews 4 and verse 12. We're talking about some of the ways that God purges. The word of God is quick. That means it is alive. And it is powerful. And it is sharper than any tool. Look, pruning shears that you can use to prune your tree, the word of God is sharper than it. Hallelujah. Because it knows how to pierce even to the dividing of the soul and the spirit. How do you divide between the soul and the spirit? Well, here's what the soul does. The soul is where the emotions are. The soul is where the unbelief and the fear and the unnecessary worry comes in. The spirit is the one that gets a hold of the word of God and says, you know, when the spirit of truth is come, he will show you. He comes in your spirit and he makes that spirit strong. And then the spirit can say to the soul, you know, oh, no, no, you taste in your place. I believe the word of God. Amen. Amen, folks. Some of you may not understand that, but that's the truth. That's why David always said to his soul, he said, why thou cast down all my soul in Psalm 42? When your soul is troubled, the spirit of God within your spirit, let me put it this way, your spirit can unite with the spirit of God, which comes to you by the word of God, and then you can put that soul in its place. Don't let your soul being cast down make your spirit to be cast down as well. Your spirit should rule the soul, not the other way around. Hallelujah. Praise God. But most people, their soul is ruling, emotions and so on. We're flying off the handle and we are doing all of these things and so forth. Put that soul under. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. So the word of God is what does that. It divides between the soul and the spirit. You know. And it's a discerner, how am I, of the thoughts and intents. And the word of God, we are told in the book of James, you look into the word of life, you know, it's like a mirror. When you look into the mirror, you know, you don't just look in the mirror. I looked in the mirror this morning when I was in the bathroom. You know, I didn't just look in the mirror and say, well, my hair doesn't look good, and then just walk away. When you look in the mirror, your hair doesn't look good, and you comb it. Hallelujah. So when you look in the perfect law of liberty, which is the word of God, you look inside, you see, you know, where things don't line up, then you fix it by the grace and the spirit of God. Don't just listen and then you don't fix it and then just walk away. It enters, like people say, enters one ear. I don't know about that, but you know, but people say enters one ear and goes out the other ear. You know, they say that, you know, kind of thing. But let's not be hearers of the word only, but let's be doers of the same. Amen. So the word of God is one way that he prunes. Another way that he prunes is through testings and trials. Testings and trials to see what you really got. Because God tests every son whom he receives. And Jesus himself learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Now, sometimes we are tested in everyday life. It's part of the pruning to see if you will fall away. Now, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 12, turn with me to Jeremiah 12, real quickly, and verse 5. We'll see that there is a concept here that is very important. It says, if thou hast run with footmen, and they have wearied you, how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein you trusted, you had trouble. You know, when things are good, you can't even make it. What are you going to do when all hell breaks loose, if you want to put it that way? What during the overswelling of Jordan? At different times of the year, Jordan swells up and so on and so forth. You know, so it's like this. All the little things that we face every day, if you can't overcome those things, you know, and Jesus said these are the beginning of sorrows. There is going to be cataclysmic upheavals. There is going to be catastrophe. You know, people are going to be running helter-skelter. I'm not a prophet of doom, but these are what the scripture says. We're going to be going into that later on, you know. But, not in this message. But, you know, the Bible says when you see these things begin, not even in the middle, when you see them begin to come to pass, that's the time for you to lift up your heads. Can somebody say amen? because your redemption is drawing closer than when you first believed. You know, but what are people doing today? Are they really lifting up their heads and looking for Jesus? I don't know. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Now, so one of the ways that he purges is to allow trials, testings, and some of these things and so forth. You know, but when he does it, one thing that God will not allow, 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, we're told that God is faithful. Amen? And he will not do what? He will not allow you to be tempted beyond your strength. But with every temptation, he will also do what? He will provide a way of escape so that you may be able to bear it. So the Bible says in Psalm 103, he says that God remembers our frame. That's Psalm 103 verses 13 and 14. He remembers our frame that we are dust. You know, so he's not going to put more upon you than you can bear. He already knows that we are, you know, we can't do anything, you know, besides him. But he allows some of these testings, you know, and some of these, you know, afflictions sometimes to really see what you are made of. Praise the Lord. That's right. You know, you say, well, God prone to that? Absolutely. Because he called Gideon's army. I don't have time to read it. He called Gideon's army down here. And then, you know, 32,000 they started with. And God began to prune, you know, purge it down. He said, look, there are too many. The first thing you're going to say to them is, if anybody is afraid, let him go back home. A bunch of them, 22,000 or whatever, went home. Amen? And God said, look at it, 10,000 remain. There are still too many. Lest they think that it's by their own power that they got the victory. So I'm going to prune it down some more. I'm going to cut it down. You know, God, he likes to do that cutting and that pruning. You know, he's a master at it. You know, prune it down, cut it down until he got 300. You know, when he finally got 300, he said, by this 300, hallelujah. That's right. You know, because they got not the land in possession. Psalm 44. But, you know, by their own power. But the arm of the Lord, because he had a favor unto them. God doesn't want people to think that they achieved anything by themselves. So he knows how to pull it down. So, but he won't, you know, when he brings these testings and trials sometimes, it is so that, you know, see whether people will fall back. And sometimes they do, you know. But let's read this thing here and see what the Bible says about the so-called affliction that we may face sometimes, and see what it compares to the weight of glory that is waiting for us. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, it says, our light affliction, which we may suffer now, is nothing to be compared with the weight of glory that is waiting for us. How many of you say amen to that? Amen. Let's read that scripture. If you put it up, I'd appreciate it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and weight of glory, eternal weight of glory. So God is, sometimes he uses these little afflictions to prune down, you know, and so forth. There's a prophecy that we read here in one of the faith labs a few months back that said, look, there are some trials are absolute necessity to the burning away of all infirmities of the natural mind, so that nothing that is carnal will remain. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. God will bring some of these things for the purging. And some trials are absolute necessity, you know, to purge these things away. So these are some of the ways that God purges. But remember, he will never, you know, I said to somebody some time ago, said this and that, well, you know, my, you know, nobody knows the troubles I've seen. I said, nobody. I said, the Lord knows your troubles. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. I said, he will never put to you more than you can bear. I said, oh, no, you don't know what I'm going through. You know, I said, well, if you have more trouble, it means the Lord knows you can bear more. Otherwise, the word of God is not true. Don't let him down. Amen. The disciples, they let him down all the time. We heard here on Friday, you know, different kinds of levels of faith and so forth. They let the Lord down all the time. One time they got into the boat, you know, and Jesus, he was already prayed up. Hallelujah. The time when Jesus would wake up in the morning and go and pray, the disciples were eating. And because Jesus defended them that they were always eating, they were happy. Amen. I said, well, you know, they're always eating. So Jesus said, fine, go ahead and eat because the bridegroom is with you now. You know. So, but Jesus went and slept. And if you don't think that Jesus knew the storm was coming, you don't know anything about the Lord. The Lord knew the storm was coming because he is the Lord. But he went and slept because it didn't matter to him. He was going to just ride it out. Hallelujah. It's not every storm that you have to shake and pray and worry about. Be already prayed up. And you can sleep through this storm. That storm will do its thing and will pass. Because no storm can last forever. Jesus had no intention of rebuking that storm at all. He was going to sleep through it. You know, but when they came and troubled his sleep and woke him up, the first thing that he said to them was, you bunch of unbelievers. That's right. That's what he called them. You know, why is it that you have no faith? How is it that you are so fearful? You know, why can't you trust in the Lord that he will give his angels charge over you? And they will keep you in all your ways. Hallelujah. The righteous are bold as a lion. You can go in, you are bold. You are not afraid. It's the wicked that are running when nobody is chasing them. But the righteous are bold. When people say you can't go there, I say, why? Who says? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Bold as a lion. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And on Friday, we heard this. You know, and Pastor Julius was sharing with us. And something came to mind that I remembered years ago. You know, when I was in high school, Federal School of Science. I was there, and they said, I went in my first day in the cafeteria. Some of you have heard this story. I went there the first day in my cafeteria, and everybody was sitting on all the tables around, but there was one table that was left empty, and nobody sat on it. And I was like, why everybody crowding up when this table is empty? So I just went there. I sat on that table, and everybody was looking at me, and somebody came and said to me in so many words, it's a long time ago, I don't remember, but it's like this. You either a big fool or something, you know. I don't know. He said something. And I said, what's that all about? He said, well, do you know what table you are sitting on? I said, yes, an empty table. Amen. Praise the Lord. And he said, well, you know, this thing belonged to the pirates. There was a group called pirates and so forth. These people drank blood to be initiated. I saw one of their initiations. You know, I wasn't initiated, but I, you know, prayed for somebody who described it, you know, and so forth. And big, huge guys. And I was a small man. I was even smaller than this thing. You know. And they said, you know, the last guy that sat on that, they carried him out of here with a broken bone and so forth. And I said, well, these pirates, are they students of the school? He said, yeah. He said, well, if you know what's good for you, leave that table. I said, well, did they pay double school fees? He said, no. So I sat down. Hallelujah. And I was eating my food and everybody looking. I was the only person on that table. All of a sudden, these huge guys came in, and when they came in, I mean, they were big, fearsome, and they came around my table, they took one look at me, and they just walked away. Hallelujah! Then I spread out, and I said, that's what we're talking about. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! That single incident brought so many souls to Christ. And one of them, one day, I was passing through a place that they said, don't pass through. In the hostel, you have to go this way, you know. If you want to go short way, you go this way, but the pirates, that's their way. You have to go the other long way to avoid the pirates. So one day, somebody said, don't go there. I said, why not? I went through there. Hallelujah. Because when I was a young man, I was bold as a lion. I like to trouble the waters and do those things. So I went through there. I said, well, they have two heads. So I got through there, I saw this boy rolling on the ground. And then I came in and I found out later, those huge men were the ones that walked away. They were there and they were surrounding. This boy was being initiated. You know? And as I walked by, and when I was coming, these huge men, they parted ways for me. They just parted. I was a small guy. They parted ways. And I was like, yeah, all right. And the guy, he got a hold of me on my leg as I was passing by. And I've been trying to witness to him, but he didn't want to listen. He wanted to join the pirates. So he said, pray for me. I said, I just pretended I seen here. I was walking away. And he grabbed me some more. And then I leaned over and I said, pray for me. I said, well, they can't hear you. Say it aloud so that they can all hear you. Hallelujah. And then he said, pray for me. And then I said, and then, you know, they were smoking and doing all kinds of things. And I said, folks, I don't know what I said, folks or something. But I said, we need to pray. And they snuffed their cigarettes and everything, you know, put their hands like this, you know. Hallelujah. The smallest guy in the room. And I said to them, you know, well, I said to the guy that is there, and I already learned that in those times, you don't pray long prayer, you know, because everybody's watching. You just rebuke the devil. So I said, in Jesus' name, come out of him. This guy, oh my goodness, he rolled like this, all kinds of things. He dashed out of there, went to the bathroom, and the thing, I cannot describe the things that came out of him today. I found out later when he got cleaned up, he came to the fellowship, amen. Praise the Lord. And he was the one that told me, those guys were the guys that came and found you in the cafeteria that day. The righteous are bold as a lion. Hallelujah. Yeah. Now, that was not in my subject here. I don't know how I got carried into that. But that was a digression. So God may allow. But give the Lord a hand clap for that. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Be bold as a lion. Don't be timid. Don't let the devil walk all over you. Amen. The reason we are not bold is when the devil put us into bondage of sin. That's right. Hallelujah. So God may allow some of these afflictions to purge us. Now, let me quickly go to some of the purging that he also needs for the individual. Now, for the body of Christ, I already said how, you know, cuts off the dead things and so forth. But let's see how the individual, because this is consecration weekend. What must the individual do to purge himself? Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. He said, look, having therefore, dearly beloved, these wonderful promises of God. He's given us all these promises. We've heard about it today. The promises of God are here and amen. All these kind of things. Well, what should you do then when you have these wonderful promises? Amen? Amen? When you have these wonderful promises, what you should do, dearly beloved, is let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Not just the flesh. The spirit can be filthy too. That's right. Perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Well, how is the spirit can be filthy? Well, the spirit will be filthy through unbelief. Now, unbelief is one of those things that can make people cut off, get cut off from God. Read the story in Numbers chapter 14. And I don't have story to read it, time to read it. But I will tell you just one verse. In Numbers 14 and verse 34, God told the children of Israel, you will know my breach of promise. You think God can break his promise? Unbelief can make it to be broken. All the wonderful things that God promised them, you will go into the land flowing with milk and honey and so forth, because they did not sanctify the Lord in their hearts. Because they chose unbelief rather than the word of God, God said, you will know my breach of promise, and none of you will taste the place. Are you still with me, folks? That's Numbers 14 and verse 34. You know. Check it out in case you think I made it up. It's right there in the Bible. The breach of promise, you know, because they did not believe the Lord. He said, after the number of the days in which you searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year. So God put a tariff of 40 years because of their iniquities, because they did not believe God. You know, and he said, you shall know my breach of promise. The promise that God promised, he's going to cut them off. And they won't even smell it because of their unbelief. Now, that's another way that God prunes from the corporate body. You know, and seeing that all these wonderful promises were promised, And them to whom it was first promised attained it not because of unbelief. Therefore, there still remaineth a rest for the people of God. Amen. Amen, folks. Amen. Because it is necessary that some people must attain the promise. God will never leave himself without a witness. So even though some people don't get it because of unbelief, and they get cut off, God will have some that will believe. Amen. But let us prune ourselves from that's the iniquities, and that's the, you know, the thing that the filthiness of the spirit, it's unbelief and all these other things. So let's cleanse ourselves from that. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, Colossians chapter 3. Let me move along quickly here. Colossians chapter 3. Let me read from verses 5 to 10 real quickly. Now, this whole chapter 3 of Colossians is about the Christian life. It's a wonderful reading. But let me start from verse 5. Mortify, therefore, that's kill, cut off, prune off, purge, get rid of it. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, unclean. It's talking to believers. Are you still with me, folks? Book of Colossians are written to the saints at Colossae, not to unbelievers. And he's telling them, get rid of fornication. What? Get rid of uncleanness. What? Get rid of inordinate affection. Affection that does is on and not placed in the right place. Amen. That's right. Evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry. Get rid of these things. These things will prevent you from entering the kingdom of God. Amen. You know, covetousness. It's idolatry. You know, you never satisfy with the thing you have. You always want the thing that somebody else has. It's idolatry, folks. You know. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which ye also sometimes walked in them in the past and you lived in them. But now, amen. Everybody say, that was then. But now. Yes. Now ye also put off all these. These are the things that you need to do self-pruning. Prune off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. What is blasphemy? People making jest and joke about the word of God. I mean, today, everywhere you go to weddings, you go to things, reception, somebody stands up, they think they are a comic, and they are making fun of the word of God and so forth. Blasphemy. You know, and sometimes everybody laughs. Even myself, I found myself laughing one time. You know, laugh and so forth. Then I realized, I should be laughing about these things. What are you talking about? You know, blasphemy. Filthy communication out of your mouth. And folks, do you know what also you need to watch out for? Evil communication does what? Corrupts good manners. Don't be listening to filthy stuff from other people. It corrupts you as well. And don't let it come out of your mouth as well. These are the things that we must do, self-pruning. Get rid of you're angry with, you know, about your brother for no reason. The Bible says you are in danger of hellfire. If you will say a foul word or doubtful or raka or this and that and so forth, you know, you'll be in danger. Wrath, you know, wrath is uncontrollable anger. That's what wrath is. I mean, you're boiling. I mean, some people say boiling point or annoying point, AP. You have touched my APO. Hallelujah. Get rid of the AP. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Be an ice man. You know, one time somebody told me, oh, you know, said something, thought I was, I said, do you know my middle name? Ice man. Amen. I'm cool, man. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I'm not worried. I'm not boiled over. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's get back to this. Get rid of blasphemy. Get rid of evil communication and so forth. Lie not one to another. How many of you know that all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire? And whosoever loveth and maketh a lie shall have their parts outside the city. Amen. All these things are in the book of Revelation. No, don't think I'm making it up. I don't have time to read all of them today. Now, so lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. And what should you do after you put off the old man? Don't let the place be empty. Because if it is empty, the devil will go and bring seven worse devils and come back and say, ah, the place is clean now. Now we can spread out. No. When you are put off, then you must put on. Amen. Amen. Put off and put on. Everybody say, put off and what? Put on. That's the pruning process. Because that's what Jesus said. He said, put off the ones that are not producing. But the ones that are producing, get them to do more. Hallelujah. He that hath nothing, even that which he seemeth to have, shall be taken from him. And he that already has, shall be given even more, so that he can have more abundance. Isn't that the scriptures? That's right. You say, well, that's not fair. Well, Jesus said it. You know, that's exactly when he said, take this from the wicked servant and give it to the one that had 10. He said, Master, he already has 10. He said, that's right. He that hath more, he that already hath, that is producing, my Father will give him even more grace to produce even more. Hallelujah. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Be thou a master over many cities. Praise the Lord. But he that doesn't have anything, because he was grumbling and burying his talent, well, take it from him. Give it to somebody else. You know, so, put on the new man. Hallelujah. That is renewed in the knowledge and created after the image of Jesus Christ. That's right. This new man, this is the goal. The ultimate goal of all the pruning that God is doing is to move us closer into the perfect image of the Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, we must cut off all ungodliness. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 31. Let me just read that quickly. Time is not in favor here. 1 Corinthians 11, 31. Now, I'm talking about self-pruning here. This verse talks about if you prune yourself, then you will not be, God will not need to prune you. Amen. If we will judge ourselves, then we should not be judged. Examine your own selves, whether you be in the faith. You know, you've got the word of God to do it for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Use the word of God for your checks and balances to see whether you are in the faith. Prune yourself. Get rid of all these things that we are talking about that do not belong. And then, you know, part of the pruning process, I want to tell us, you know, if you don't get anything today, get this. The pruning process is not a one-time thing. Hello? You must constantly prune away. Every season, the tree, you know, will go through the fall season and the winter and the bare branches. You must prune them away again. The same thing when you have a garden with weed. You must constantly weed off the weed. It's not a one-time thing. You know, there are some denominations that preach salvation and then sanctification and Holy Ghost and so forth. I see these things are one-time events. No. Sanctification is a continuous event. Amen. Hallelujah. You must continuously renew your mind. Present your bodies a living sacrifice continuously and renew your mind by the washing of water with the word. You must continually renew your mind. You must continually get rid of those evil things that flare up in the flesh. That's self-pruning. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, if we don't do self-pruning, then the Father will have to do the pruning. Now, you don't want that. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you children, listen to me. If you don't receive discipline from your parents when they try to discipline you, and you don't refuse, you refuse and you don't obey, and God help you if they turn you over to the Lord. Hello, folks. And that's wisdom for the parents. Look, children better take the discipline that your parents are trying to give you, because if God has to step in, it won't be funny at all, because he said, honor your father and your mother. Amen. That it may well with you. God's not going to change his word for anybody. If God has to change his word for you, he'll kill you. Praise the Lord. Go and find out from Balaam. He wanted God to change his word, and God wanted to kill him for it. So God will not change his word, period. What he said, he has said it. And that it may be well with you, you better honor your father and your mother. So get rid of all the things that are holding you back. Praise the name of the Lord. And finally, having done all these things, we must bear fruit. Hello, folks. Now we are closing and going back to John chapter 15. And remember in the beginning I said, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you. Then I'm going to tell you. Then I'm now going to tell you what I told you. So now I'm going to tell you what I told you. What we told you, this is the conclusion. The conclusion of the matter is that we must bear fruit, but it must be the kind of fruit that God is looking for. Fruit of righteousness. Amen. Walking in love. Hallelujah. Walking in the light. Walking in the spirit. You know, what will Jesus do? Etc. and so forth. You know, but again, you know, those are bearing fruits. You know, like this tree that didn't bear fruit and Jesus cursed it. You know, so he wants to bear the fruit of righteousness. Want to bear the fruit. If you belong to the vine, you know, an orange tree will bear an orange fruit. Amen? It's a mongrel if it doesn't bear the right fruit and bear something else. You know, it has to bear the right fruit. You can't pluck banana off an orange tree. You know, so if God planted an orange tree, he wants orange on it. Amen. Don't try to be like the seed, like the lemon tree. Don't worry about the lemon. If God made you an orange, produce orange. Don't be over here and say, what about John? What will he do? And Jesus said, never mind John. You do what I ask you to do if your name is Peter. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's the problem with many of us. Always say, what about the other person? This person is not doing this. Don't worry about that. You do what he wants you to do. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Bear fruit. Herein is my Father glorified, in that you bear much fruit, and that your fruit shall remain. So shall ye be my disciples. Let's stand to our feet here this morning. I am going to lead us in prayer. A prayer of consecration this morning. Like I said, a consecration message and a prayer of consecration this morning. The word of God that you have heard today, the summary of it is that if you are in Christ, you say, well, I'm a believer. I got saved 20 years ago, whatever, 5 years, 10 years, 1 year. Doesn't matter. If today you are not abiding in him and you are not bringing forth fruits of righteousness, worthy of the so-called salvation, walking worthy of the Lord unto all men pleasing, you know, and so forth. Unto God, and so on. If you're not bringing forth these things, then you might as well be cast away. And what happens to those who are cast away? Gather together and burn the fire. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Now, all over this place, I'm going to ask us to pray. Pray for yourselves, folks. Now, you young folks, I've noticed, you know, some of the young folks come to church and they just play as if the church is, as if we're serving two different gods. There's one God for the adults, you know, and then the God of the children is their iPhone or this and that. You know, get rid of those things. Amen. Amen. Concentrate on the Lord when you are in church. When they say, let us pray, be a part of the prayer. When they say, let's praise the Lord, be a part of the praise. Now, so I want the young people to be a part of this prayer as well. I want everybody, let us pray and ask the Lord to help us to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, so that we may perfect holiness in the fear of the Lord. I want you to lift up your hands and pray for a few minutes. Everybody, pray for yourself. Don't pray for somebody else right now. Pray for yourself. Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus. Give us understanding, Lord, in cleansing. I pray that you cleanse my heart. Help me to purge away. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, the things that do not please you in my life, so that my life may bring forth the holiness in the fear of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for everybody that's in the sound of my voice. The Bible says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. How many of you can say amen? In a few minutes, we're going to be breaking bread. Purge out the old leaven. You know, get rid of the modern day leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. That's another message by itself. You know, get rid of all those things and so forth. You know, be pure in your heart and be transparent in your heart. Praise the Lord. You are transparent already to the Lord anyway, because he with whom we have to do, all things are naked and open before him. You know, you can't couch anything to the Lord. You can only couch it to me or somebody. Well, not always. The Holy Spirit can reveal it too. But you know, you cannot couch anything to the Lord. So let's open our hearts before the Lord. Purge out the old leaven and be a new lump. And we must keep the feast symbolically with unleavened bread. Get rid of the leaven of malice and anger and blasphemy and evil communication and corrupt communication and, you know, all these things that he talked about. Let's get rid of them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, he that is being often reproved hardens his neck shall what? Suddenly be destroyed, and that shall be without remedy. You know, so God, all this rebuke and so on, we heard it in the review. When God is constantly rebuking us and telling us, do this, cleanse yourself, prepare yourself, you know, cleanse your hands, O ye sinners. Come before the Lord, you know, with a pure heart and so forth. Who shall ascend before his heel? He that has clean hands, a pure heart and all this thing. And God is constantly telling us this. Well, he that being often reproved continues to harden his neck. One day, he shall be destroyed. Suddenly. And that will be what? Without remedy. That will not be our portion in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, we thank you even as we have prayed. We ask, O Lord, that your mercy will be with us. And that you will grant us the grace to cleanse ourselves from all the wickedness of the flesh. And put on the new man in Jesus' mighty name. For reference, that is Proverbs 29 verse 1, what I just read about somebody that's been often reproved and doesn't listen to it, what will happen to him. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. If you love the Lord today, I want you to put your hands together for the Lord Jesus and say hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for showing us through your word areas in our lives that we need cleansing with. And we pray today, I want them to prepare the breaking of bread. And we're going to, an extension of this message will be into the breaking of bread right now. You know, purge out the old leaven, folks. This is unleavened bread. You may sit down. This is unleavened bread that signifies, you know, this newness of life. It's a new lump. Get rid of all these things that we talked about. And we must discern the body of Christ. In this message, we type that body like divine, you know. And if you don't discern that, there's deadness in your life and so forth, then the Father may have to prune you off. But if you judge yourself, then you shall not be judged. Amen. So unforgiveness, malice, lying one to another, anger, wrath, and filthiness, and all these other things, foolish jesting, which are not convenient, and so on and so forth. These are the things that we must prune from our lives in Jesus' mighty name. So as we go into this bread, breaking of bread, as our tradition is, sometimes after our consecration weekend of fasting, we do this together. As we go into this, examine yourselves today. And if you don't know what this breaking of bread is, I recommend that you don't take it. Because you might be eating damnation to yourself. But let a man examine himself. Hallelujah. If you do not discern the body of Christ, you don't know that we're supposed to be one body. And we don't know that there should be no clamor and bitterness and wrath and all these things and backbiting and so forth and putting forth of the finger. If we don't know that we need to get rid of all that, then we shouldn't be eating this bread. But when you examine yourself and take a moment and pray and say, cleanse my heart, then we welcome you to the table of the Lord. Because you cannot eat from the table of the Lord and from the table of the devil, which contains wrath, anger, malice, fornication, adultery, and all those things that the Lord wants us to put away. So we cleanse our hearts this morning and let our hearts be pure. Hallelujah. Because if your heart already condemns you, God is greater than your heart and he can see it. But when your heart is clean, that's an opportunity for the Lord to walk with us as we also walk with him. Praise the Lord. The same night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. And he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And Romans chapter 4 and verse 25 tells us, you know, he was delivered for our offenses. Hallelujah. And he was raised again for our justification. Now God bruised him. You see, God bruised the Lord Jesus Christ for our iniquities. He said he was bruised for our iniquities. He was wounded for our transgressions. Hallelujah. God laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And by his stripes, even the chastisement of our peace, for us to have peace, Jesus was chastised. And the healing that we have today was through his stripes. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father, Lord, as we receive and partake of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive. If you had aught against any, better forgive. Otherwise, this will speak against you. You know, forgive. Take a moment in your heart and pray and say, Lord, I release them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen, folks. And better mean it, because God does not want you, when you come to the house of God, to make empty vows. He doesn't like it. He calls it fools. Let's not do that. So let's mean it. As we forgive them, release them. And when you see them afterward, embrace them and say that they are forgiven in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. So we take the bread and we thank you, Lord, for the bread, an emblem of the body of Christ. And his body was broken so that the body of Christ may be united as a single body in Jesus' name. Amen. They will pass it out. As they pass it out, let's sing just quietly. Take my cup, Lord, and fill it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsty of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Take my heart, Lord, fill it all and make me whole. My God, Lord, oh, fill it up, Lord. I lift up my cup before you. Lift up your life unto him and let him fill it with his goodness. Come and fetch this thirsting in my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Hallelujah. And you just meditate quietly upon that. And I have this special one that I like to sing for you. It says, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Bread of heaven, feed me every day, bread of heaven. Feed me till I want no more. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Bread of heaven, feed me every day. But you must come to the bread of heaven. It's already been freely given. You must feed from it every day. And it's right here in the word of God. Amen. As we pray this prayer of consecration, that we want to feed from that bread of heaven every day, make a determination. Make time with God a business. Make prayer a business. Make consecration a business. And spend time with God and determine that the grace of God is sufficient to help you cleanse and prune you from all the things that the Lord does not want
in your life.
Amen. And after they had sought, he took the cup also and said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for the remission of sins of many. Hallelujah. Now, Lord Jesus, we thank you for the cup. We remember that when you saw the blood over the dwelling places of the house of Israel, you instructed the destroyer and the devourer to pass over. When I see the blood, I will pass over in you. Not the goodness, but the destroyer will pass over. Amen. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over our lives, over our homes and our dwelling places, and over all the brothers and the sisters, the men and the women, the children, and everybody, that the Lord will look upon the blood and cause the devourer to pass over in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We also thank you, Lord, for the blood that is shed for the remission of our sins. Praise the Lord. This blood we are partaking as an emblem today. This juice represents the emblem. Jesus said, I'm not going to sit down physically and do this with you again until I sit down in the kingdom of heaven to do it with you again.